Open your Bibles, please, to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. I'm going to teach tonight on the subject. I want you to listen now. Some of you folks down at the front have been talking throughout the service tonight. I want you to listen to me, young people and adults and college students and everybody. John, chapter 14. I'm teaching tonight on the subject, the science of I love you. The science of the statement, I love you. John 14 and verse number 15. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And down to verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him and will come unto him and make our abode with him. Now just a few chapters over to John 21, verse 15. John 21 and verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. What he's saying is, if you love me, then you feed my lambs. He saith unto him the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, then feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Three times he said, okay, if you love me, then feed my sheep. I want you to listen carefully tonight. Most of the people, now get this carefully, most of the people in this room have never loved anybody. Did you hear what I said? Act like you're startled. I want that question to start. Let me say it again. Most of the people in this room have never loved anybody. That's better. Now that we practice, let's do it right, huh? And I want to talk to you tonight. It'll not be as lengthy a Bible study as usual, which usually means I go longer than normal. But a preacher before me not long ago started preaching about 7:15 in a conference, and I was supposed to follow him. He said, I know you come tonight to hear Dr. Howells and not me. I want to get out of the way as soon as I can. Let Dr. Howells have plenty of time. I got up at 9:17 to preach my sermon. So sometimes we preachers can't judge very well. But I want to talk to you tonight on that little subject, the science of the statement, I love you. Father, bless our study tonight. I sure would like to help people, especially these people of all people. So I pray you'd give me their attention and give me quickness of thought and mind and help me to be adept at speech. In Jesus' name, amen. Now I want you to give me your attention. I want you not to talk. I want you to follow me carefully and logic with me. And if you do that, I promise you we're not going to have a long study tonight, but it is going to be, I think, very important. I'm going to make five statements. Under statement number four, I'm going to give 5 points. But I have 5 major statements tonight about the science of the little statement, I love you. I said a while ago, most of you have never loved anybody. I said a while ago, most of you have never loved anybody. Yeah, that's better. Boy, you are really dead tonight out of the azure. You see, loved, listen to me now, loved is a verb. I take it that you know what a verb is. It's a cousin to an adverb. But anyway, a verb is a word that is action. I go, that's a verb. Not I, but go. I work, that's a lie. I eat, that's the truth. But that's a verb, an action. It is the action part of a sentence. I went downtown. I attend Hammond Baptist High School. The word attend is the verb. Now, to say I love you, the word love there is a verb. I'm saying the first thing I said, most of you have never loved anybody. Let's just go on. I won't give that one up. It's a lost cause. Number two, most of you have love. Now, hear me carefully. Most of you have love, but you've never loved. When you say, I have love, have is the verb, and love is the noun, the object of the verb. I have love. And most people in this room have love, but you've never loved anybody. You see what I'm trying to say? You see what I'm trying to say? You don't see what I'm trying to say? Okay, we're going to be here about 45 minutes longer than I thought, because I'm going to cram it down your throat. You've got to open your mouth like a dog takes a pill and close it and make you swallow it. I'm saying that most people never have loved anybody. But all Christians have love. Listen to me now. Listen to me now. All Christians have love. That means that to have love, the word love is a noun, and to love somebody is a verb. Number three, we are commanded in the Bible to love. We are not commanded to have love. There's no place in the Bible that says have love one for another. Over and over again, it talks about loving each other. It says love one another. It says love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, body, and soul. It says love thy neighbor as thyself. It says love your enemies. It says husbands, love your wives. Now, it does not say husbands have love for your wives. There are a lot of you guys have love for your wives but don't love your wives. And there are a lot of you ladies that have love for your husband but don't love your husband. You have the love, that's a noun. But the Bible doesn't say have love for him. The Bible says love him. The Bible doesn't say have love for her. The Bible says love her. Now then, you, yes, we are commanded to love and not to have love. I said, number one, most of us have never loved anybody. I said, I've been preaching out of town. I'm used to responsive audiences. But I said, number two, you have love, but have never loved. You have love, but have never loved. Love, in having love, being a noun, and loved, in I love you, or he loves her, that's a verb. So, all Christians have love, but all Christians don't love. God commands us to love. As I said, love our Lord, love our neighbor, love our enemy, love our wives, love one another. It's a command of God. We are commanded to love and not to have love. All right, now then, if we're commanded to love, what is loving? I'm not saying what is love. I'm saying what is loving. If I say what is love, that's what is a noun. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what is loving. What is the verb? What does it mean to love? There are five words I want to give you. And you can remember them, I'm sure. There are five words I want to give you. In the first place, love is possessed. Love is possessed. Now that comes at salvation. The Bible says God is love. So when God saved you, he entered into you by his Spirit. Christ came in you as the hope of glory, and you possessed love. All right? The second thing that love is if not only is it possessed, but love is thought. Now, you can have love and end stop with the first part. You can have love. You can have love for your wife or your husband or your children or your mother. You can have love and go no farther. That is simply the possession of love. But you can't love. Now, I want to say it again. A lot of you folks say, well, I love him, or I love her. Or you say, I love my husband, I love my wife, I love my children, I love my mother, I love my father. Now, what you mean is, I have love in my heart for my wife, or my husband, or my children, or my mother, or my father. But love is, that's love possessed. But love, being a verb, first is possessed, and second, it is thought. Now, I call that the act of love. The act of love, of loving, is to think. Now, you can have love for somebody and never think about it. But if you have character, you will schedule times to love people in your mind and think about them. Now, what does that mean? That means you think about how much you love them. You think about what they mean to you. You think about what they are. You think about what they've done for you. You think about the troubles they have. You think about the burden. I have spent hours in the last 2 weeks loving Dr. and Ms. Evans. Hours. You say, how do you do it? I sit in my room or my office or a motel room, and I sit there and I think about them. And I think what they're going through. And I think how much they mean to me. I think how much they've meant to this church. I think how much they've meant to our college. I think how much they've meant to America. I call that the act of love. Now, there are many people, there are many husbands and wives in this room tonight who possess love for each other. God gave you love when you got saved, but more than that, God gave you a unique love for your wife or unique love for your husband, but the truth is you never loved them. You never stopped to think how hard that man works. You never stopped to think what that woman's been through. You never stopped to think the labor that she went through to bring life in the world and give you your children. You never stopped to think what your mother has been through for you. You never stopped to think what your dad has been through for you. I'm saying that you can have love without thinking about it, but you can't love because love is a verb. And notice, all these words I'm giving you are verbs. Possessed, that's a verb. I possess something, that's a verb. I think something, that's a verb. So love is, number one, possessed. Say it. What is it? Say it again. And number two, it is what? Thought. Ask a question. Have you spent any time today thinking about the fact that you love somebody? I'm not talking about wanting to smooch with your wife or your husband. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about wish you could hold hands with your girlfriend. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about how pretty she is, how handsome. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, have you sat down today and loved anybody? Most of the people in this room today have not loved anybody today. That's the truth. And you know it's the truth. If I ask you to raise your hand tonight, it'd be an embarrassing thing if you'd have to raise your hand and tell me if you today have sat down and thought about what anybody means to you. We flippantly say, love you, I love you. And the truth is, it's a lie. We're saying, I have love for you. But the truth is, we never stop to think about the object of that love and stop to love them. That's what the act of love is. It's a mental thing when you will to think what somebody means to you. Love is first possessed. Say it. Love is first what? Possessed. Love is second thought. Say it. Thought. Say it again. What is love first? Possessed. Second is what? Thought. All right? And by the way, you do that by schedule. You do everything by schedule. If you are ever going to accomplish anything, you've got to have a schedule. I'm preaching on that one of these nights pretty soon. But you're going to have a schedule. You're going to have to sit down and say, I am giving this part of my life. Listen, if some of you students, instead of sitting there and misbehaving in school, instead of sitting there in classroom and loafing, if some of you students would just every once in a while look up at that teacher and just figure out how much salary that teacher makes, and then figure out how much salary that teacher could make if he or she taught the public school, and you figure out the fact that that teacher is working under the welfare, the poverty level, and would qualify for welfare, if you stop and think, I wonder how long it's been since that teacher had a new dress or that teacher got a new suit. I wonder how long it's been since they've gone out to eat because they make such a little salary. And you stop and think what they sacrifice for you and perform the act of love. You say, I love my teacher. Then do it. I love my wife. Then do it. I love my husband. Then do it. You folks that have teenagers, you ought to have the act of love for this man right here, this youth director. He spends his life for your kids. And you ought to sit there once in a while, schedule yourself and sit down and say, thank God for Eddie Lapina. The only time he ever hears from you is if you're griping about the kids getting in too late sometime. And what you ought to do, listen, I'm not trying to get Eddie Lapina any love. I'm trying to get you to love, because the lover is more blessed than the loved. But the truth is, the average parent here, and the same thing's true about Don Boyd and Tom Vogel and Jeff Owens, who works for the public school kids. I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, you ought to have enough character to say, I am going to sit down and, hey, choose about 5 people a day and sit down and take about 30 minutes. Or, oh, you said with the hounds, that's a long time. Yeah, that's how long Oprah lasts. That's how long MASH lasts. That's how long Andy Griffith lasts. I'm saying it's time some of us became decent Christians. And it's time some of us, hey, God commanded you to love. He didn't command you to have love. It is a command. Did you know it never says in the Bible, God never commands you not to go to movies? You shouldn't go. God never commands you not to listen to rock music? You shouldn't do it. But God commands you to love. And my Bible says, the greatest of these is love. And they asked the Savior, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, the greatest commandment is this, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, body, and soul, and love thy neighbor as thyself. If I stood here tonight and preached against the sex perverts and the queers, I'd have you hollering and screaming and jumping up and down and saying amen. But the truth is, you and God don't have the same priorities. You and God don't see things alike. The God of heaven commands you to love, and he does not command you to have love, and that is a commandment. The greatest commandment, oh, greater than thou shalt not kill. Yeah. Greater than thou shalt not commit adultery. Yeah. Greater than thou shalt not steal. Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Greater than remember the Sabbath day to keep it. Yeah. Uh-huh. Greater than thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Uh-huh. Yeah. That's right. God commands you to love. And God said that is the greatest of all the commandments. Now you listen to me. I'm talking to a bunch of people tonight who are living in direct disobedience to God's plain command. He commands you to love. And you, now I'll say this, you're not right with God if you don't love. Oh, you say, preacher, my heart is filled with love. Then let some out. I'm not saying, a lot of you people, your heart is filled with love. You've got a whole reservoir of love, but you've never turned the faucet on. Now what is the faucet? The faucet is your mind. When you've got enough character to say, I am going to put in my schedule, listen, this little lady right here, you haven't got the foggiest idea how hard she works. And all she ever gets is some letter from you griping about something you don't like. God pity your ungrateful, unloving soul. You have no idea. Day and night that gal goes. And I'm not trying to defend folks or get on anybody tonight, but I'm simply saying the only attention a lot of folks get from you is if they do, you don't like something about what they do. Now, in the first place, you'll come near liking what they do if you'll stop and love them. Oh, you say, Brother House, I have love for Brother Colston. Then do it. I have love for what's your name? Bob O'Clair. Then do it. I have love for Jeff Owens. Then do it. Love is a verb. Say it. Love is a verb. Say it. Love is a verb. Say it. Love is a verb. Number one, love is possessed. Number two, love is thought. Number three, love is felt. When you think, you feel. Let me just take Brother Colston here. Brother Colston, 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning, sometimes he gets up and crawls out of bed and goes to the hospital. Never, never, never has a time he can always call his own. Lives for other people. Day and night. I don't know. How long has it been since you thought about that? I've got to remind you of it. I've got to remind you, Dr. Jorgensen, he works 2 hours a day. Not much. But I mean, I'm telling you folks that every man on this platform and hundreds of people in this church, they deserve you to do more than have a big reservoir. Here it is over here. It's all stored up. There's my love for you. Well, give them some of it.
Love is possessed. Love is thought. Love is felt. And let me say it again. If you do not think love, you are breaking the commandment of God Almighty, the greatest of all commandments. And if you do not feel, if you think it, you'll feel it. But if you don't feel love, feel love. Oh, what you're interested in. I want to feel loved. Oh, shut up. I want to feel like I just don't feel loved. You ungrateful, sorry, selfish, egotist you. You're never going to generate love for yourself from anybody with self-pity. Forget whether you're loved or not and love. Love is possessed. Love is thought. Love is felt. Number three, love is told. Love is told. I love my mother, you say, not if you haven't told her. Do you understand? If you don't tell your mother you love her, then you do not love her. You say, I do love my mother. No, you have love for your mother, but you don't love your mother. Love is a verb. Say it. Love is a verb. Say it. Love is a verb. Say it. Love is a verb. How long has it been since you told your mother you love her? How long has it been? How many of you today have said to your mother, Mother, I love you? Raise your hand way up high. Way up high. Now you folks that have your hands down, if you've seen your mother today, you have sinned today. Thank you very much. I won't go to all the other relationships, but I'm simply saying, the fact that you have some love somewhere down here, all stored up, doesn't mean you love her. Love is a verb. Say it. Love is a verb. Say it again. Love is a verb. Say it again. Love is a verb. Having love is a noun, but you don't love anybody because you have it. You love them because you think it, you feel it, and you tell it. And when Jesus commands you, he commands you to verb love. And the word verb means verbalize. Now you say, Brother Hiles, follow me carefully. Now, yeah, I think I'll do it. You say, preacher, I have a hard time expressing it. Well, bully, bully for you. We all have a hard time expressing it. Well, I'm just not the type to say I love you easily. Well, bully, bully again, or heifer, heifer for you. Bully, bully, or heifer, heifer for you. I mean, I don't want to leave anybody out. I'm saying, okay. You say, Brother Hiles, I have a hard time expressing it. We all have a hard time expressing it. I'm going to tell you why in a minute. Brother Hiles, it's just not my disposition, not my nature. It's not anybody's nature. Now you listen to me. Follow me carefully. If to love, not have love, but love, is a command of God, Satan fights our obeying all of God's commands. When God says, thou shalt not steal, Satan fights to make us steal. When Satan says, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, Satan fights to make us lie. That unwillingness, hear me now, that unwillingness on your part to say I love you is because of a direct attack of Satan. And he attacks all of us because it is a command of God. Just like tithing, just like telling the truth, just like going to church, just like praising God, just like living a clean life, just like abstaining from evil, just like rejoice evermore. It is a command from God. And don't you think, cold, frigid wife, or our angry temper tantrum husband, don't you think that you're the only one in the whole world the devil's after to keep you from loving? And you can't love unless you tell it. Love is a verb. Say it. Love is a verb. Say it again. Love is a verb. Say it again. Love is a verb. And Jesus commands you that you love, noun or verb? Huh? If I have love, what is that? If I love, what is that? Does Jesus command me to noun or verb? He commands me to verb. The word verb means verbalize. That means you can't love unless you tell it. I get so sick at my soul of counseling with couples who are in direct disobedience to the command of Almighty God and under an attack from the devil. Why don't you look at it for what it is? That's what it is. The devil has attacked you and you hide. Hey, you say, Brother Howes, it's not my nature. That's exactly what the queer says. It's exactly what he says. Now go home and tell your wife you love her. And go home and tell your husband you love her. I love him.
Love her.
Go home and tell your children you love them. Go home and tell mama you love her. Go home and tell daddy you love her. Go home and call your grandmother and tell her you love her. Call your granddad and tell him you love him. Tell your school teacher you love her. Unless you're in college and she's 21. Now you listen to me. It is a disgrace in the sight of Almighty God the way we lightly disobey the commandments that we don't think are very important. We have our priority commandments. Say, why are you carrying this? I don't know. I may throw it in a minute. At least you're listening now. I'll pick up that piano over in a minute and carry it. Yeah. You know, see, you haven't killed anybody lately, so you're against murder. But my Bible says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God and love thy neighbor is the greatest commandment. And love is a verb. Well, you say, Brother Howes, I'm a he-man. I'm just not very gushy. Well, get gushy, and you're not a he-man when you disobey the command of God. The devil has launched a direct attack on you. Now, that's what's happened. Love is possessed. Love is fought. Love is felt. Love is told. Last time some of you guys told your wife you loved her was on your honeymoon. And you told her then, if I change my mind, I'll let you know. You have loved your wife as many times as you have possessed it, thought it, felt it, and said it. Now, I got on these men. Let me get on your ladies for a while. Paul Burks said amen. I was counseling the other day with them. They're having problems along this line. Mrs. Burke, you don't love him unless you tell him you love him. Have you told him today that you love him? Did you really? Did you tell her you loved her? Did you tell Paul you love him? You tell your wife you loved her? Is that right? Give me some illustrations that are... Now listen, folks. Listen. You say, well, Brother Hines, I came from a family that's not affectionate. Shut up. I will tell you this. Every family that's not affectionate, every woman that's not affectionate, every husband, man that's not affectionate, every child that's not affectionate, every mother that's not affectionate, every father who's not affectionate, every granddaughter or grandson who's not affectionate, every grandmother or grandfather who's not affectionate, he is under attack from Satan, and you are possessing love, but God never told you to possess love. He poured that in you when you got saved, and you possess love, but you're not loving anybody because you can't love without thinking it, you can't love without feeling it, and you can't love without telling it. Number five, love is possessed. Say it. Love is second what? Thought. Love is third what? And love is fourth what? Told. Five, love is shown. Love is shown. John 14:15, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. John 14:23, he that loveth me keepeth my commandments. Jesus said to Peter three times, if you love me, go feed my sheep. Love is shown. What does that mean? That means that you do not love unless you show it. And you can tell it. You can have it, possess it, think it, feel it, tell it, but you have not loved totally till you have shown it. Now, not to do all five is not to love. To love is to do all five. All five of these are verbs. Possess, think, feel, tell, show. Get this now. Possess, that's what God gives you. Now follow me carefully. Possess. Then what? Think up here. Then what? Feel down here. Then what? Tell right here. Then what? Show. It goes from your mind, your head, to your heart, to your tongue, to your hands. The truth is, most of the people in this room haven't loved God today. You have love for Him. If you went to the room or the bin that has love on the outside and opened up the door to that bin, you guys want to help this fellow just came in here? Somebody back here? They have a seat. Have a seat back there, sir. You can't come down here this late. You go, if you went to that little room, it says love on the outside. If you went to that room, opened it up, you'd find a heap of love in there. But the door is shut. Now, I want to tell you something. The devil is the author of why love is a noun to you and not a verb. Now, I am not here on behalf of Bob O'Clair trying to get Mrs. O'Clair to love him. A mother couldn't love him. I'm not trying to get Mrs. Boardway to love Ray Boardway. I'm not trying to get Mr. Jorgensen to love Mrs. Jorgensen. I'm not trying to get Ed Lapina's children to love Ed Lapina. I'm trying to get you to feel the joy of loving. I'm not trying to get love for anybody. I'm not trying to gather love for myself, from you, or for anybody. I want to pastor a group of people that know the joy of loving. And know the joy of winning in the spiritual warfare against the devil who's trying to keep you from obeying the commands of God. Now, the devil fights your thinking about it, but by keeping you from scheduling it. You won't think about loving people unless you put it in your schedule. So if you're going to defeat the devil who's trying to attack you and keep you from loving and obeying the command of God. Listen, I have told God today, I promise you, I have told God today 25 times at least that I love Him. Well, you say, I love Him. You only love Him, and Brother Hiles gets the key to that bin in your heart that says love, and I unlock it and tell you to, and then you do it. And if I could call you every day and say, take time to love God, you would. But I can't call you every day. It's time you grew up and got yourself a schedule and got yourself some character and set a time to love. Check Ecclesiastes. It says you're supposed to. A time to love. A time to love. There is, and list all these things, a time to do. And one of those things it says, a time to love. See, you think about how much you love somebody when you get around to it. But that you don't do anything like that and you get around to it. Stuff like this doesn't interrupt you and say you're not paying any attention to me. And I'm not scolding you to try to get anything for anybody. I'm scolding you tonight to try to give you the richness and the joy of being affectionate, of being loving, of changing love from being a noun to a verb. The devil is attacking you're thinking about it. Then he fights your telling it. Do you know, for some of you people, if you said I love you to somebody, or unless somebody says it to you first, and then you grunt it back. I don't know. Some of you teenagers, your mother says I love you. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. The devil, if some of you, on your own, walked up to somebody that you have love for, but never loved, and said, I love you, you would be like me reading in the first grade the little blue back book, John Hit the Ball. Mary Hit the Ball. John Hit Mary. That's my version of it. Mary had a little lamb. Its fleece was white as snow.
And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Some of you folks are 75 years old, and that's the way you say, I love you. You know why? Because that... Listen. Because you're pretty near demon-possessed. Do you know what I said? I said you're pretty near to being demon-possessed. Because the devil has possessed you and keeps you from saying, I love you.
He says, my personality.
No, it's the devil. It's my disposition. No, it's the devil. It's the same thing the queer has. It's the devil. And the queer has as much right to say, this is the way I'm made as you do to disobey God when he says love. You don't know this, but this is good. I'm enjoying it because very few times I can get everybody at one time. I preach against movies. You folks that don't go, just holler amen. But it doesn't bother me at all if you're not saying amen because ain't nobody left to say amen. Love is a verb. Love is a... Now, some of you fellows right now are saying, boy, I'm glad my wife is hearing this. You sorry devil. And you're going to go home and... First thing you're going to get home. Did you hear that? If I was here, I'd obey the devil and not say it. I'm not talking about that. And some of you ladies are going to go home and say, did you hear it? Did you hear it, Joe? Last time you told me you loved me, I have a wedding gown on. Of course, that kind of love, you were wearing that thing for 25 years. But the honest, simple truth is, I'm not trying to get you anything tonight, and I'm not trying to get you fellows a loving wife or you wives a loving husband. Are you parents a loving child? I'm trying to get your child a loving mother. I'm trying to get you to be a loving mother and you to be a loving father and you to be a loving husband and you to be a loving wife and you to be a loving grandchild. Jacqueline Scott, she tells me several times a week she loves me. My granddaughter, I'm old. I can't hear. I slobber when I talk. I fall. My bones are brittle. About to go to the rest home. Old. Worn out. On Social Security. Medicare. All that kind of stuff. She says she loves me. Do you think she says she loves me? Because I'm cute. Teresa Smith, our granddaughter goes to college out here. She always says she loves me when she leaves me. Always does. That's the way she gets to leave me. Now, I want to tell you something, folks. I'm not here trying to get your loved one to have a richer life. I'm here to try to get you to have a richer life. All across this country, preacher, stand up to introduce me. I want to tell you what they say. They say, I went to pastor school in 1974, 1968, 1981. I went to pastor school. And I learned a lot, but the thing I learned the most, Brother Ray, finish it, the thing I learned the most, you've heard him say it, was to what? Love my people. I learned to love my people. Now, every one of them had love for their people, but they had never loved their people. So Satan is fighting your thinking about it, he is fighting your telling it, and he is fighting your showing it. All right? Most of you have never loved anybody. I said most of you have never loved anybody. Yeah, you do want to go home, don't you? I know why you want to go home, so you can tell her you love her. How long has it been since you college boys that are single reached over and put your hand on your girlfriend's hand and said, I love you? I can't tell you how long it's going to be, but it has been, but I can tell you how long it's going to be. I can tell you what's going to happen to you if you do it. I told the students this morning, I said,
I said, if you don't want to kiss her, if you kiss her, I'm going to send you home. If you don't want to kiss her, I'm going to send you home. I just don't like you. Get rid of you. But I want to tell you something tonight. This little Bible study could change your life. Some of you guys are going to come to me, you women, you're going to say, oh, thank you, Brother Howes. My husband's told me he loved me. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. But that's not going to bless me as much as when he comes and says, Brother Hiles, I've learned to say, I love you. I've learned to possess it. I've learned to think it. I've learned to feel it. I've learned to tell it. And I've learned to show it. And the devil in hell will be upset and peeved and aggravated, because you would have won a spiritual victory. Listen to me now. Listen. Greater than Oral Roberts casting out devils. Come here, Roy. You haven't told your wife you love her enough, have you? Okay. Love her!
Love her.
Oh, down, all the way down. Slain in the spirit. You don't want me next, do you? More people are possessed of the devil because they don't obey that, because that is the greatest commandment. And now, abideth faith, hope, charity, which is love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. Why don't you decide you're going to love your mother? Not just have love, love your mother. And I don't mean go home tonight and I don't mean that. I would have suggest some of you kids, teenagers, if you go home tonight and tell your mother you love her, do it gradually. Write her a little note first. Because you won't have a mother very long. She'll die with a heart attack. If some of you women want to get rich real quick, go home tonight, put your arm around your husband, and say, I love you, big boy. He'll die of a heart attack, and you'll get his insurance. Shall we stand?